Sounds like a good place for some of us to be. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Job chapter 1. We're not going to look at this portion until about halfway through, but you might turn there in advance. Job chapter 1, about the middle of the Bible. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee now. We pray, dear Lord, that the Word of God might speak to our hearts, and we pray, dear Lord, that every heart might be open to hearing the Word of God, that we might have a better understanding of the things that are about us, and that we might be ready to meet the Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that we might be a people whose heart and mind is on the Lord Jesus Christ and not easily deceived. We pray for each person here that they might know for sure that their soul is safe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that He has already written their names in glory. We pray that those that know Thee not might tonight, without a shadow of a doubt for sure, ask Christ to save their soul and be sure that they're on their way to heaven. Lord, bless us and help us to this end. We trust in Thee for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to take a subject tonight, UFOs. What are they? And what do they mean to us? What are they and what do they mean to us? I was talking to a preacher friend of mine. I told him I was going to bring a message on this. And he said, "You must be kidding." He said, "You know what? Nobody will ever believe you again. You ever bring a message on UFOs?" So I said, "No." I think there's some evidence that we can look at, and I think we ought to. So we'll find out whether he's right or I'm right, I guess, in due time. But you know, we've heard a lot about it. I don't know how much you've thought about it. I don't know how much you've looked into it. I've never looked into it too much, even though you see it in a report in the newspaper on TV. And I've always thought, well, you know, I don't know what I thought. I guess I kind of ignored it. That's probably what a lot of people do. They just ignore that these supposed sightings. But nevertheless, there have been a lot around. A couple of years ago, I think there was some sightings right over 93 down there in Tilton, around that area, and around Belknap Mountain. I know that there were, and I was living not too far away from that. I didn't see anything, but I wasn't out there looking very hard either. But there was supposed to be some sightings right over top of Belknap Mountain, and lights, and people saw things, and lots of people saw things all at once. Somebody handed me this morning. It was kind of interesting. One of the most famous people in sighting UFOs in the whole country, that if you see a book written about UFOs, you'll see these people mentioned. And the husband died, but Betty Hill is still living. And I didn't realize, even though I read about her before, I didn't realize that she's somewhere in the Concord area. And this was from the Concord paper. And she claims she's got a landing pad in her backyard, you know, and she's got all of these people who are, you know, really important people, doctors and, you know, different folks like that, engineers and things, you know, 8 or 10 of them who will be real secretive and keep their mouths shut and not tell anybody. She's got her own swamp back there, and she knows exactly where this supposed flying saucer, a UFO, lands and everything, and she's seen it. And she's afraid anybody will know where it is. They might come and chase it away. See? So this was in the paper. I don't know. I don't know what the date was on this, but I guess it was within the last couple days. And she's talked all about it. I think she's one of the people, her and Barney, who were supposed to have had a ride in one of these things a few years ago. So you see that it's around in this area. As a matter of fact, there's a movie playing in Maine tonight, somewhere in Maine. I don't know where, but it's called the UFO Target Earth. So there is quite a bit of interest in these things. And then in in June, I guess it was in April, it was reported in June, out of the Boston Globe, I got this one. I know you can't see a picture of it, but, you know, it's a typical little man there with a couple eyes and nothing else and such. It says, this monster may be a hoax, then again. And it said three teenagers in Dover say they saw a 3.5-foot tall creature with no nose and no mouth, but with a head like a melon and eyes like oranges. And one of the fellows that saw him was 18, and he's a good artist, and so he drew the picture of what he saw. And they said, you know, he's not a crazy kid. So they thought there might be something to it, but the police didn't know what to do about it, whether they should go out and look for that little creature or not, you know. it's interesting, you walk into any kind of a store and you can see these little books on it, all kinds of paperbacks on different things about UFOs, and there's little newspapers and magazines out about them, and there's the regular cult involved in this thing that are watching these UFOs. And so, people will come along and they'll say, well, you know, no intelligent people would believe in that. Now, when you look at some of those magazines, and I did look through one, you look at some of those magazines that report about UFOs and things like that, they don't look too intelligent, that's for sure. But as I went about looking into this thing, I found out that there is just tons of evidence that there are such things. And that's the shocker. That's probably one of the reasons why we ignore it so much, is because we would hate to find out that there is such a thing. And there is just tons of evidence for it. And I'd like to give you some of the evidence for it. If you get Faith in the Family magazine, if you want to talk about a sane periodical, this is as sane as they come, not prone to doing any stupid kind of predictions. They had a little article on UFOs. It's quite different than what I'm going to give tonight. It was about the religious cult that's formed around the UFOs and such. But they make a statement in the Faith of the Family magazine 10 years ago. Anyone claiming to have seen a flying saucer was considered crazy. Not anymore. A recent Gallup poll revealed that over 15 million Americans have seen UFOs. Over 15 million have claimed to see that. Now, that's a lot of folks. There's no doubt about it. And just to show you that there's other sane people who have looked into this thing and found some things out about it, too. One of the little newspapers that many of us get by E.L. Bynum, he also has a message on UFOs, and I've listened to his message and to his conclusions and so forth. So there have been some really sane people and some godly people who have looked at this kind of a situation to see just what it is that it could possibly be. And more than that, the United States Air Force has looked into it too. And Norman just gave me this book on Wednesday, but it had a lot of information in it, and I thought I would show you some of it. Just to show that this isn't something that people thought was absolutely crazy. United States Air Force, I'm going to read to you, they have a photographic copy here of an order that was given about so-called flying saucers. This order was issued by the Inspector General of the Air Force to every Air Base commander in the continental United States on December 24, 1959. The title of this book has been taken from the title of the official order. And this is what the order says. It's UFOs, serious business. This is from the General, Inspector General of the Air Force. Unidentified flying objects, sometimes treated lightly by the press and referred to as flying saucers, must be rapidly and accurately identified as serious USAF business in the, I don't know what that is, Z1, as the AFR 202 points out, the Air Force is concerned with these sightings is threefold. Three things are worried about. First of all, is the object a threat to the defense of the United States? Secondly, does it contribute to technical or scientific knowledge? And then there's the inherent Air Force responsibility to explain to the American people through public information media what is going on in their skies. The phenomena or actual objects comprising UFOs will tend to increase with a public more aware of goings on in space, but still inclined to some apprehension. Technical and defense considerations will continue to exist in this area and so forth. And he goes on there telling these fellows they better take it seriously, and they're going to start to study. So the United States Air Force started to study what these UFOs are. And in this particular book, there are numerous pictures of them, some of them that are drawings and some of them that were taken like photographs. I know that you wouldn't be able to see it there and things like that. I don't have much, a lot of trust in those photographs, you know. I mean, I think you could buy one of those flying saucers in the store for 95 cents and throw it up and get a photograph. But supposedly, I don't trust the photographs, but I do trust that, you know, experts would look at them and say, no, that's not something you can buy in the store. I mean, I would hope that experts could do that, but I don't know. But they do have lots of pictures of these things. And then the list of witnesses for UFOs is just unbelievable. It reads like the who's who in America. It really does. Major Gordon White, one of our astronauts, on his final orbit of Earth in May 1963, he radioed that he was being approached by some kind of a greenish object as he was orbiting the Earth. And the object was also seen on the tracking device. And there were, when he reported it, there were 100 people watching the tracking device. And the 100 people all saw this object also that was approaching his ship. And in fact, they have, there's a picture of it in that book. This fellow, Gordon White, took a picture of the object that he saw. And then there's more astronauts that have seen these things, Edward White and James McDivitt over Hawaii, June 4th, 1965. And they took movies of it. And we have the picture of that also that they gave in the book that I just read for. It was a newsman that's been on the news for many, many years. Another fella, Major Joe Walker, April 30th, 1962. He was flying a X-15 rocket plane at a high altitude, right out on the very outside of our atmosphere, practically. And he had a movie camera that was taking pictures of everything that was going on. And they, when, you know, when they played the pictures, there were five of them following the plane. It was going 2,000 miles an hour. So that was a kind of interesting. And then you have Gemini 7, Frank Borman and James Lovell in 1965. They also made some sightings. I have a newspaper account here I'd like to read out of this same book. It's from the Meriden Journal out of Connecticut. It said there are many reports in Air Force files made by qualified pilots who in flight have encountered UFOs with fantastic flight patterns. These officers are not quacks, nor are many of the intelligent people who have spotted phenomenal objects in the sky. So that newspaper also took the same approach, and many people had seen these. And another quote from an important fellow, Dr. Alan Hynek, who was investigated these things for a while. He's the top Air Force scientist on UFOs, and he was quoted in the Yale Scientific magazine in April 1963 as saying this: "The surprising thing is the level of intelligence of the observers and reporters of UFOs. Certainly above average, and in some cases decidedly above average. The typical UFO witness is honest and reliable." So as they were looking at the fellows who were making the reports to these things, they noticed that they were good caliber people, that they weren't just crazy kind of folks. And they go way back. That's the thing about it, too. It's not just something recent. And, you know, one of the first really big ones that that happened, the fella, he wrote it up. And then after he wrote up what happened, he had an affidavit. He had about 10 people sign it that he wasn't crazy. This happened in 1897, and it was a farmer by the name of Alexander Hamilton, and he was out in Kansas on April 21st, 1897, And so I guess this was such an unusual thing. There haven't been too many sightings. There have been sightings all the way down through the history of man, supposedly. But in 1897, he hadn't heard of too many of them, that's for sure. And so when this thing happened to him, he wrote it all up, and then he had an affidavit signed by everybody in town, you know, that said he was all right and that he wasn't really crazy. And let me just read a couple paragraphs of what he wrote. It's quite interesting. Last Monday night, about 10:30, we were awakened by a noise among the cattle. I arose thinking that perhaps my bulldog was performing his pranks. But upon going to the door, saw to my utter astonishment that an airship, can you imagine that in 1897? That an airship was slowly descending upon my cow lot, about 40 rods from the house, about 600 feet. Calling my tenant, Gid Hislop, and my son Wall, we seized some axes and ran to the corral. Meanwhile, the ship had been gently descending until it was not more than 30 feet above the ground, and we came within 50 yards of it. It consisted of a great cigar-shaped portion, possibly 300 feet long, with a carriage underneath. The carriage was made of glass or some other transparent substance, alternating with a narrow strip of some material. It was brightly lighted within, and everything was plainly visible. It was occupied by six of the strangest beings I've ever seen. They were jabbering together, but we could not understand a word they said. Every part of the vessel, which was not transparent, was of a dark reddish color. And then he goes on to say how that they lowered this thing down, you know, and grabbed one of his calves or something like that. They lowered down a cable and grabbed some of his calves, and the cable got wrapped around part of his fence. And he didn't know what to do, so he cut the fence, and then he ended up pulling this thing up into out of sight, and he didn't know what happened to it, and somebody else had found the remains of it over in somebody else's ranch or something at a later time. And so that's when he had the affidavit made out that he was all right after all. So it's been quite something that many folks have seen these things, and a lot of people who are not prone to get carried away with things have seen them. And the list is just tremendous of the different types of people have seen it. Lots of airline pilots have seen them, the crews of airline pilots, doctors have seen it, lawyers, school teachers, radar operators. In fact, at one point, three different radar stations in three different places tracked one of these things all at the same time. And also, along with all of those sophisticated kind of people, fellas in jungles have seen these things too. As a matter of fact, even Jimmy Carter said he saw one of these things. So we'll list him in there too. All right, now, if this is the case, if so many people have seen it, you know, you wonder, what is the purpose of these things? And is there a purpose? Well, you know, in spite of all the reliable witnesses that have supposedly seen these things, the stories that come out about them are pretty fantastic and a little bit hard to believe. In December 12th, 1967, a woman by the name of Rita Malley in Ithaca, New York, was driving home one night with her little son, Dana, about 5 years old. And she was riding along, and suddenly she saw all these flashing lights, you know. And she thought it was the police or something, but she looked in a rearview mirror and saw that it wasn't there. And she slowed down and came to a stop and looked around. The lights were coming from up above, you know. And she looked up, and there was some lights shining from way up above, you know. And the next thing you know, is she heard a voice. And the voice said that your best friend is in an automobile accident right now. And your little boy is in a trance, and he won't remember anything that's happened. But he'll come out of it later. And of course, she was shaken up greatly, and you know, she reported this thing, and she went home, and she found out that her friend was in a bad automobile accident at that very time. So you get some really weird things. Another similar circumstance was in 1959, April 24th, a fella in Brazil by the name of Helio Aguirre, and he was a bank statistician in Brazil, and he was taking some photographs of one of these silvery discs, as he described it, when all of a sudden he felt some pressure on his brain, and he fell into a trance, and after he awoke from this trance, he saw something written down in his own handwriting that he didn't remember writing, And the message that he saw written down in his own handwriting was, put an absolute stop to all atomic tests for warlike purposes. The balance of the universe is threatened. We shall remain vigilant and ready to intervene. Now, one of the interesting things about this is that that phrase, the balance of the universe is threatened, has been found in many contacts that people have had with the UFOs. They have found those words, those same words, even though they've been all over the world and wouldn't even known each other, the balance of the universe is threatened. So they've had this common message. Another common message that many people who have supposed to have made contacts with these folks have gotten it from a man whose name is Mr. Ashtar. And Ashtar has a familiar ring, and thousands of them have heard that name. It's very similar to Ashtaroth, which was a Canaanite deity way back in the Old Testament, one of the gods of the Canaanites. Another fella, he had a weird experience too. I guess he was out doing billboards one day when he got carried off or something like that. And the next thing you know, he started hearing voices from the folks that carried him off. And they said, his name was Alan Noonan, and they said to him, will you agree to be the savior of the world? And, you know, a lot of messages that people who supposedly contacted these things have all been similar like that, that have to do with the coming of the end of the world and the need for a savior of the world and so forth. So these things, although they sound kind of crazy, what I've just given you sounds kind of crazy, they've happened so many times that people wouldn't put them aside, and that's why the United States Air Force started to investigate it. But after the United States Air Force started to investigate it a lot, even though this one fella from the Air Force said that, you know, one of the reasons why they had to investigate it, if you remember, I read it, reason number three, was so that the public would be informed, you know. One thing the Air Force has not done is inform the public, you see. So they've done that, and even though there's mountains of information about these things, all kinds of photographs and all kinds of information about it, most of it's been silenced. And, you know, when somebody important sees something, they try to silence them. I've got illustrations of that I've gotten out of different books and such. Captain Peter Killian, who was an American Airlines pilot, in 1959, he saw three of these things, and he went back and he reported it, you know, and the Air Force, they tried to muddle it all up, you know, and they finally said to him, maybe you were drinking too much, and he really got mad at that, and he was about to file suit over that whole kind of thing, but the whole thing kind of got mixed up and muddled up, so nothing came out of it, and likewise, a lot of the astronaut sightings that they've had, you know, they come back and somebody try to come up with an explanation, and somebody talk for a whole long time, and pretty soon it would be forgotten. There was a sergeant, Lonnie Zamora, from New Mexico, Socorro, New Mexico, in April 24th, 1964. He saw one of these things while he was on duty. He was a police officer. He was on duty. He saw one of these things, you know, and he saw two of the creatures besides. After a while, you know, newsmen went down to interview him, and I don't know what happened to him, but all of a sudden he wouldn't talk about it anymore. Now, why did they silence all of this kind of thing? Well, there's probably a lot of speculation. I think I have an answer to that. And one of the answers is we're pretty sure, most of the people that have investigated this thing are pretty sure. I'm positive, but they're pretty sure that these supposed spaceships are not from outer space. Major General Joe Kelly said there is a total lack of evidence that they, the UFOs, are interplanetary vehicles. And he said that in a letter to Senator Harry Byrd in May of 56. And then Time magazine carried an article, and in 1969 it contained the Condon Report, which is an Air Force report that was done about UFOs, and the Times said an investigation reviewed and approved by the National Academy of Sciences. So the report was reviewed by the National Academy of Sciences as being all right. And one of the statements that they came up with in the Condon Report said this: Thus, when the scientific study of UFOs was finally made public last week, it spoke with authority. Its conclusion all but demolished the idea that the Earth has been visited by creatures from other planets. That's what the Conant report said, an Air Force report, after investigating this thing, that it was not, absolutely not, could not be, visitors from other planets. Now, we're living in a time right now when an awful lot of folks are very interested in that there might be astronauts and all kinds of things coming to this planet, you know, and going to take people out. And then there was Eric Von Doniger, and he came out with a book, Chariot of the Gods, and in his book, he tried to make people look at all of these unusual phenomena all over the world. And he said that the only way that you could explain these things was that many thousands of years ago, these astronauts came down and helped the stupid people of our world to do these great things. And, you know, loads of people have seen the movie, The Chariot of the Gods, and they have believed that they're these certain kind of things. The people from somewhere out of space have come to the world to give messages to the world and to help the world and do things like that. Now, Eric Von Doniger, I think he's just a profit seeker. I don't mean that he made prophecies. I think he was seeking profit for his books, making some money on the books, because, you know, everything that he came up with that a lot of people gullibly swallowed was just torn apart very simply. For instance, one of the things that he showed was that over on Easter Islands, where there's some primitive people on this very small island, that he said can only take a population of 2,000, but could really take a population of more. There are these huge, huge, gigantic statues made out of stone, and they're standing up there looking kind of funny and real weird. I couldn't find out how big they were, how heavy they were in my research, but they are really tremendously huge, and they're too big for human beings to get up, you know? And so he said it's impossible that humans could have ever gotten this huge stone statue carved out and standing upright like that on that primitive island. He said there's not even enough men on there to have the strength to lift this thing up. So his claim was that there were astronauts that came down and somehow gave these people the technical knowledge to get these huge stones lifted up and in place. Of course, a lot of people believe that in a lot of his other things, which I'm not going to go into tonight. I'm just going to use that as one example. And it's interesting because Thor Heyerdahl, who was a famous person for writing a book by Kon-Tiki many years ago, he was getting around on rafts and things like that to these different islands. You know, he wrote a book, Aku, I guess is the way you pronounce it. He went out there not knowing about what this other fellow had said in his book. And he went into town, you know, and he asked the mayor of the town. He says, how do you ever get those things up? He said, it looks impossible that men could ever get those huge, heavy stone statues standing up. And the mayor says, no, it's easy. So he paid the guy, you know. And so the mayor went out and he got about 11 of the town loafers. And in 18 days, they took one of the ones that was laying down and they had it standing up. And I guess they did it little by little, put rocks under and things like that. They had some way worked out with a few ropes and just 11 guys. They raised that thing up. And, you know, everybody was believing this guy, Von Doniger. You couldn't get that thing up unless you had modern equipment to get it up. And all of these fellas are not even working very hard. They got it up. So one of the things that we know is that these supposed flying saucers are not somebody from outer space, as is so popular today that people think that they are from outer space. But the problem, I believe, as to why there's been so much silence about something that 15 million people are supposed to have sighted is this, that the people that have investigated it have found they were getting in over their head. One Russian that investigated it said, something unknown to our understanding is visiting this earth. And so they know there's something going on. But they don't want to deal with it because it's a little weird and it's a little bit strange. You see, it all seems so very real. And it's beyond any doubt that something is happening. But those people who have investigated found out that they were getting into stuff that was awful much akin to spiritism. And what I'd like to give you tonight a little bit is the similarities between UFOs and the occult. Now, in some of the stories I already gave you, you might have been able to, if you were quick with your mind, be able to see this. Remember I talked about Rita Malley, how her car was stopped and there were lights over, you know, and a little son was in the trance? Well, trances are things that are typical things of the occult and of witchcraft and of spiritism and that kind of thing. The same thing with the other fellow from Brazil. He fell into a trance and he wrote some things out. Again, that's typical of the occult. And one of the most famous people who've ever been in a trance, Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, he used to diagnose sicknesses while he was in a trance. And they would find out that his diagnosis was right of these sicknesses. And everybody had a lot of faith in this guy. Of course, he died. But a Christian knows from examining what Edgar Cayce used to do, they know where he came from and how we got these right diagnoses, because as soon as he fell into a trance, he always said, "We." And those of us that know the Word of God know that when a person is demon-possessed, that they will usually speak of "we" if there's more than one demon in him. So we believe without a shadow of a doubt, there's no doubt that Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, supposedly, was certainly not a Christian and did not operate according to the Word of God. And when he did these things, certainly supernatural kind of things, he said, "We." And so it was undoubtedly demon possession that did it, and he used to do it from a trance. When people are in actual trances, I'm not talking about when you're tired and you're staring out the window, you know? I'm not talking about that. When a person actually gets into a trance, that is an occult type of thing. And the same thing with this Alan Noonan, the savior of the world kind of bit. And Ashtar, who has the sound of the gods of ancient times and of times past, and of predictions of ending the world. One of the things that happened that was interesting was that some of the people that contacted UFOs back in 1967, they got predictions from the UFOs, from the supposed people in the UFOs, you know, that the world was going to end on December 24th, 1967. And, of course, we know that didn't happen. You see. So we know that they weren't right on that. But one of the interesting things about that was not only did people get that prediction from UFOs, supposedly, but lots of other people were getting it from Ouija board experiences for the exact prophecy and the exact same date. And then we mentioned the Condon Report before. Now the Condon Report was the official report of the United States Air Force. After they did an extensive study on UFOs, it was named after Dr. E.U. Condon, who was a big wig out at the University of Colorado. He headed it up. Their findings, when they were all done their studies of UFOs, was this. It claimed that the phenomenon of the flying saucers was in the same category as mysterious and mysteries associated with seances and spiritist movements. So that's what the official Air Force report was after they had as many interviews and got all the information and all the data they could get on these things. They said that it had the same kind of things. These guys aren't Christians. They probably didn't go to the Word of God to find out what's right and what's wrong and anything about demonism. But they came up and found out that the same kind of phenomenon associated with seances and mysticism was associated with UFOs. Another fellow that said that, a quite prominent fellow from the Royal Air Force of Britain, Air Marshal Lord Dowding, he directed the Battle of Britain in 1940, and he said that the occupants of UFOs were immortal. They could render themselves invisible to human eyes. Another thing that they found out that interests them was that whenever there was a sighting of some of these things that could go so fast, they'd see one of these things, you know, flying down at a speed never seen before, and then suddenly go in another direction just like that. One of the interesting things was that everything that has substance to it, that goes, you know, over 600 miles an hour and gets out into those fast speeds, has sonic boom. Well, these things never had a sonic boom. So that's what they came up with. And then there were reports, for instance, this report that just came out this month, UFOs linked to weird animal mutilations. It's October 11th, 1977. And it goes on to tell about in Colorado, these guys, they got the pictures here, the sheriff and everybody else is out there, you know, and the undersheriff, and they got a picture of it. And it's been hovering over this ranch, and they've been finding their animals every once in a while cut up, you know. And they've been sliced up just ever so carefully. Not mangled or anything like that. They've just been sliced up, and they go out there, I guess, with guns and staves and knives and chase this thing away every once in a while. So you get these kind of reports, and they're really something. But that kind of a thing, mutilation of animals, if you know anything about the occult, and you know about witchcraft, and you know about the sacrifices, that's one of the things that you see in witchcraft and the occult, is the sacrifices and mutilation of animals. Now, you might say, you know, preacher, somehow to me, preacher, there's a big difference between a seance, on the one hand, and one of these huge supposed flying saucers on the other that all these important people have seen. And somehow, you say, there's a big difference there. I can't quite put them together. Well, you know, these other fellows have put them together. But we ask ourselves, well, what does the Bible tell us about these things? Because ultimately, whatever they report, to me, it doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says is true is what matters to me. But what does the Bible tell us about this? First of all, we're not going to spend much time on it, but I just want to emphatically say that the Bible gives us no reports of UFOs or flying saucers. Absolutely none. There's a lot of kooks around today, and they think they can see one in the cloud that, you know, that the Israelites followed and all kinds of things like that, and some of the stupidest stuff you've ever want to hear. But the Bible does not describe any UFOs. Absolutely none. Not at all. They're just not there. There's nothing in the Word of God that we believe happened in the Word of God that must be accounted for by a supposed flying saucer. There's absolutely nothing. And when you hear that kind of stuff, when you hear somebody and they tell you that, you don't have to recite all these facts I gave you today. You can just say to them, well, that's bunk. That's enough for that. You know, it's just not true. So the Bible doesn't talk about flying saucers. But the Word of God does tell us a great deal about unseen powers that are around us. And this is absolutely true. The Word of God says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now get that verse. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against something else. It says the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's not talking about human beings. It's not flesh and blood. But there are rulers of the darkness of this world. And we don't see them. The Word of God tells us that they're there, that we wrestle against them, even though they're not flesh and blood. The Word of God is clear about Satan. Most people don't realize, but what the Word of God says about Satan is this: the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, that Satan is called the prince and the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2, the other reference was Ephesians 6:11. And now, I want to point out to you a passage in Job, chapter 1, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, from where comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. All right, now here you have something that the Word of God teaches very clearly. Satan comes into the presence of God. And God says to Satan, where were you? What were you doing? And Satan says, I was walking up and down on the earth. What do you think Satan was doing walking up and down on the earth? Well, the Word of God tells us in another place, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said that Satan was the father of lies. Jesus said that Satan was the father of murders. And the Word of God says that he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And in the book of Job, we see he comes before the Lord. The Lord says, what were you doing? He says, I was walking up and down the earth. Satan was going back and forth up and down the earth. Now, nobody saw him because he was of an invisible power. Now, after this, God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him? And Satan says, well, that's because you let him be so rich, but if you take away everything he's got, he won't be true to you anymore. And so God says, all right. Now, after God says, all right, Satan brought a whole lot of terrible plagues on Job that left Job penniless, that took all of his children, all of his cattle, everything except his wife. Took everything. Now, the Bible is clear that Satan did that, but I want you to notice in verse 16 something. It says, while he was yet speaking, a servant had come to him to tell him bad news. There came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Now notice here what the servant reported. The servant came to Job and said, the fire from heaven, the fire of God has fallen and has destroyed the sheep. Where did the fire come from? It didn't come from God. It came from Satan, right? We already know that God said Satan could do it. Satan did it. And yet a person came, he saw the fire. He figured if fire came down from heaven, it couldn't have been, you know, it only could be from God. Nobody else does miracles but God. That's what the fellow would have thought. And he realizes Satan could do that. Now look at another verse. Verse 19. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men. They are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Now here was the house. This man was one of the richest men in the world. I guess he was the richest man in the world. And so his sons and his daughters were in this certain kind of house. I don't know what kind of house it was. But there was a wind that was so ferocious that it collapsed the house and they all died. Now who brought that wind? We know who brought the wind. It was Satan that brought the wind. Who would have ever thought that Satan brought the wind that made that house collapse in those days? Who would have ever thought it? Nobody thought it. How do I know that? I know that. You read the whole book of Job and all these wise men come in and they talk to Job. They didn't say, you know, Job, it could have been Satan that brought in that wind. They didn't say that at all. They didn't think for a moment that it could have been Satan. All those guys ever talked to Job was about his relationship to God. They never said Satan could have done this. Why? Because people are ignorant of the fact of what Satan does and that he is the prince and the power of the air. And that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. And you know, when you consider some of these things about the flying saucers, you find out that some of the people that supposedly contacted these things, lots of them went loony after the contact. That's not unusual in Satanism either. Another place, I'm not going to turn to it now for time's sake, but the Bible clearly teaches that there is an unseen world. You remember Elisha and his servant, they were in a tough jam and they were surrounded by this other nation over in, it's in the 2 Kings. And you know what? Here they are, and they know they're going to get beaten. And so the servant's getting all shook up. He said, what are we going to do? And Elisha says, don't you worry, because we have more with us than they have with them. The servant looked around and said, what do you mean? I don't see anybody. I just see us, you know? And there's a lot of them. And so he prayed that that his eyes would be open so that he could see that unseen world for a moment. And that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden, he saw all the chariots of God that were ready to take over that situation. That's what the Bible teaches us, without a doubt. And another thing that the Bible teaches us is how deceptive Satan is going to be in the last days. I'm going to turn to another portion, Revelation chapter 16, verse 14. Talking about the last times, just before Jesus Christ comes, it says, "For they are the spirits of demons," or devils, "working miracles that go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole earth, the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." Now, what is that talking about? It says these are the demons and the spirits of demons. And what do? Work miracles? They work some kind of a miracle that gets all of the kings of the earth. I mean, important people. Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now I want you to notice here that this man who's coming to be the Savior of the world, portion before this explains to us about that and other portions of Scripture. He's otherwise known as the Antichrist. This one, he's going to come after the working of Satan, and he's going to have power and signs and lying wonders. He is going to convince people by something supernatural that he is a man that can be trusted to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to do it by power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to have everybody confused by his supernatural power, a power that comes directly from Satan. And the Word of God says in verse 10, "And with all deceivableness." In other words, nobody's going to know what's going on. They're going to be so deceived. Satan, dear friends, a master of deception. I believe that these people who say they made contacts with these UFOs, I believe they had a real experience. I don't know what their experience was. But I believe that they think something happened. Some of them think they were in one of these spaceships. And without a doubt, I really believe that they believe that they were in a spaceship. And that they weren't lying about it, and they weren't fooling about it, that they really believed they were in a spaceship. Now, I don't personally believe they were in a spaceship. I think they were greatly deceived. And I think if you think about that for a minute, you can figure it out. I mean, probably everybody here has one time or another had a dream that you thought was so real, you thought it actually was happening. If you didn't wake up, you would have really thought it was real. Well, I'll tell you, if somebody gets a hold of your mind in hypnosis or some other thing like that, and many of these people came out of these things supposedly hypnotized. And that's another thing, friend, that's of the devil. And you better believe it. Hypnosis is of the devil. And never get involved in it. Those people believe that that really happened. I believe it's great deception. Satan's got people all mixed up believing all kinds of stupid stuff. You know what? Let me just give you one last example about this. Satan has got so-called what we would consider to be the most intelligent people around. He's got them so mixed up they will say stupid stuff like you would think they were drunk when they said it. I'm not kidding. Let me give you an example of how an intelligent person will say a stupid thing, and you tell me if that's not right. Here's a guy, Dr. Irwin Ginsberg, a physicist with Standard Oil of Indiana. And he says the Garden of Eden was really a spaceship that crash-landed on the Earth 6,000 years ago. a physicist with Standard Oil. Can you believe that? A crash-landed spaceship was the Garden of Eden. He says God sent Adam and Eve to this planet from the constellation Pleiades. However you pronounce it. Can you believe this? And where did he get that kind of information from? I mean, there is such a constellation, but where did he get that information from? A physicist. He says he believes that the original outer space dwellers were bisexual. Can you believe this? They were connected at the ribs like Siamese twins. This is why they say Eve was made from Adam's rib. Separating Adam and Eve into heterosexuals prepared them to mate so their children could crossbreed with the earth people. You tell me that Satan hasn't deceived people something fierce? Dr. Erwin Ginsberg, physicist? I mean, how stupid can you get? And there are people that say that they can't accept the Bible record. And if people believe stuff like that, I'll tell you, if that's true, that can only be of Satan. Now, let me ask you a question. Has Satan ever deceived you? You say, no, I don't go for all those crazy kind of things. How about on religion? Satan ever deceived you on religion? Has he ever fooled you about your relationship with Almighty God? You know, there is a satanic deception about religion. Do you know that? Satan knows a lot about religion. You know how I know that? You read through the Bible and you find out that one of the reasons Satan got kicked out of heaven was because he wanted worship. And then another thing you find out was that Satan in the end times, he gets to indwell a man who all the world worships. He wants worship. He knows a lot about worship. And so Satan has all kinds of imitation religions and he teaches his own truth. And you know what? Satan can take the Bible to do it. You say, preacher, how can you say all those things? Easy. All I got to do is turn through to any time Satan is spoken of in Scripture, and you'll find out he's going around quoting the Bible to twist up some kind of a truth. He got with Eve, and he said, did God really say that? You know? God didn't really mean that. And he got with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tried to tempt Christ to do something wrong, and he quoted Scripture to get Jesus, the God-man, to do something wrong. Satan's always using Scripture, but he doesn't use all of it. He uses a few parts here and a few parts there and twists them all together. That's what he does. Has he ever deceived you? That's the question. You know, Satan can be just a sweetheart. Did you know that? He can. He can come on with the nicest, sweetest, most lovely religion that you, and you would think that religion was true. He really could. You say, oh, preacher, how can you say that? Yeah, listen, you don't really believe that Satan puts on his red suit every morning and carries along a pitchfork out of his seat. You don't really believe that, do you? That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a, listen to this, an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Now let me ask you a question. This one who's going to come with all deceivableness, and the people he's going to deceive are the people that did not love the truth, the Word of God. Has Satan ever deceived you as to what the Word of God really teaches? You know what? I know that it's absolutely true that we have religion today, and in religion, people, there's so many people that don't know what the Word of God teaches. There are so many people with what looks like a heart of sincerity, who believe that if they'll just be good and try to be a little bit religious and believe in God, they'll get to heaven and be accepted of God. It's not true. You know, it's a satanic deception. You say, preacher, how can you say that? I can say that because the Word of God teaches otherwise. The Word of God teaches that all men are wicked before God because of the sin in their life. He said, wait a minute, preacher. I haven't done any bad sins. I know I've done some things wrong, but I haven't done any bad sins. You know what? God says that all liars have their part in the lake of fire. Everybody's told a lie from the time they were little.
God will not even let one little lie into heaven. Now, Satan doesn't tell anybody that. He says, all right, folks, you've done a few lies, do a few good things, and you'll be all right. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags to God. But the Bible teaches us that God does have a way to make you righteous so that you can get to heaven even though you don't have the righteousness yourself to do it. And you know how that was? That was by the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God from all eternity past. And He gave up all of His glory. And He came to earth to be born as a babe in a manger. His Father, the Holy Spirit, His Mother Mary. So that He could be man and feel pain like us. And so that He was God, so He was perfect, so He'd never sin. And He offered on Calvary's cross a fit sacrifice for you and a fit sacrifice for me. So that even though we can't get into heaven because of our sin, Jesus Christ's blood can cleanse us of all iniquity. And so if a person will say, Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that I cannot get to heaven. I believe I'm bound for hell because of my sin. But I believe that You died for my sin, that You offered a fit sacrifice, that You were buried in, that You rose again, and that You're now in heaven. I believe that, Lord, come into my heart and save me. If a person will do that simple act of faith, they can be saved for all eternity. And all their sins can be washed away. They can have the renewing of the Holy Spirit and the walk with God. Now, how do I know that? I know that because the Word of God says it over and over and over again. And anything else that teaches anything else is a satanic deception. That's absolutely not true. That damns people to go to the same place that Satan is going. Because the Word of God says that hell and the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. And He wants everybody with Him. And He says, be a little religious. And be good, and that's good enough. And Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Why? You know, they had lots of righteousness. Except it exceed that, you won't get into the kingdom of God. How then can a person get into the kingdom of God? They must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's the only way you can get in there. And the way you get the righteousness of Jesus Christ was that He died on the cross one day for your sins. You ask Him to save you. He took your sin. And He gave you your righteousness. That's the wonderful story of salvation. And the Word of God says that those people who love not the truth, that they might be saved, the truth being the Word of God, God sent them strong delusion, and He ended up believing Satan's deception. If you won't believe what the Word of God says, friend, you'll believe Satan's deception and Satan's religion. Whether it's a religion that's all kinds of screwy like UFO, or whether it's a real sophisticated religion in a nice brick church with all kinds of forms. One way or another, you'll be deceived if you don't love the truth that Jesus did it all, and you can't get to heaven any other way. Let's bow for prayer. As our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask each one of us to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ in a moment. Before we do, I'd like to extend an invitation to you. As your head is bowed for a few moments, will you take time to get serious before the Lord? You're sitting here tonight. Are you absolutely sure that you're saved? Dear friend, let me ask you this. Are you absolutely sure that your salvation rests upon what the Bible clearly teaches? Or have you just had some opinions about what you think God's going to do with people? And they were opinions, but they were not truth that was resting on the Word of God. Can you honestly answer that question? What are you resting on? On some opinions and thoughts and religious forms? Or are you resting on what the Word of God says is the way of salvation? And if you're honest about that, and you say, well, you know, preacher, I haven't really seen from the Word of God how I know I'm saved. And I have had these opinions, and
like other people? What does the Word of God say? Well, I just gave it to you. Let me give it to you again. Jesus was the Son of God from all eternity past. He was God the Son. He came to earth. He came for one main reason, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he said. And the way he did it was by a blood sacrifice. God would accept nothing else but a blood sacrifice. And the Bible says by one sacrifice, he perfected them forever. Dear friend, by his sacrifice, you can be perfected forever if you'll just believe it and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not really saved. I know I don't really know whether I'm going to heaven or not. Come into my heart and save my soul. I want to go to heaven. I want to be a child of God. Friend, if you will do that right now with all the sincerity of your heart, and pray in this time of quiet and ask the Lord. God loves you with an everlasting love. He wants to save you for all eternity. Will you ask him? There's no reason why you shouldn't if you're not sure whether you're saved. Let us pray silently. May God meet our needs as we pray. As our heads are bowed, before I pray, I'd like to include you in the closing prayer. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, or you've asked the Lord to save you and you just want to be sure you're saved before you leave this building tonight, would you just lift your hand, indicate it to me, lift your hand. I want to pray for you. If you're not sure you're saved, you want to make sure you're saved. You've just said that prayer and you've asked Christ to save your soul. I'd like to include you in the closing prayer and pray that the Lord will save your soul tonight and that you'll know it for sure. Are there any here? This is your time of invitation. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we think of the many unusual things that are happening in the world around us now, and we realize that Satan himself is out to deceive many by many different ways, Lord, we pray that no one here might be under the illusion that they're going to get accepted by God and go to heaven any other way but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by Him alone. We pray, Lord, that nobody here tonight might be resting on their own opinion, but that everybody here might be resting on the Word of God. Bless us to this end. In Jesus' name. I'd like for us to sing a song of invitation. Let's stand and sing 252.